Hello, and a really warm welcome, everybody. We are excited to welcome you to our webinar in our Recruiting for Balance series. And today, I'm really pleased to have our partner PepsiCo with us. We're going to share a case study about what they're doing within their organization to recruit for balance. And we'll put a specific focus also a little bit on the IT function there. My name is Christina Taylor. If you can move me on to the next slide, that'd be great. Thanks. My name is Christina Taylor. I'm an OD consultant. I run my own business called Learn to Grow, but I'm also the chair of the Lead Network Education Committee. And in this function, we work a lot in organizing webinars like the one today. Before we get started, just a little bit on the technology side. You hopefully are able to hear us now. Please note that all participants are in listen-only mode for the session today. We've got a few interactive pieces as well, and we're going to be using Slido today. So there's a good chance now for you to scan the barcode or the QR code on the screen, or you can go to slido.com, hashtag IT lead, and that allows you to participate both in the polling questions that we've got, but it's also the key way in which we're going to take questions for the Q&A at the end. And then I just want to point out that we're recording today's session for the benefit of those not able to join us so they can listen and see that on the Lead Network website. As you know, all of the Lead Network events are governed by antitrust guidelines. So we will be steering clear of all of the topics on the screen today as we have customers and competitors, suppliers, and so forth on the call today. So to get us started today, I want to say a really special welcome also to all of those of you who are new and are joining the Lead Network for the very first time. So let me just take a moment to talk a little bit about who we are at Lead and what we do. Our mission at Lead is to attract, retain, and advance women in the consumer goods and retail sector in Europe. And we do that through education, leadership, and business development. The Lead Network is a nonprofit, volunteer-led organization. We have over 7,000 members across all of Europe. We have 35 partners who support us and who also staff our 170 volunteer positions that we have across all of our different committees and chapters. The Lead Network also has 8 different chapters, country chapters, but we also feature a supply chain chapter. Like I said, one of the committees that I'm personally involved in is our education committee. And if we can move on to the next slide, the education committee's purpose is really to bring to our partners an opportunity to learn from each other and to look at what we're doing in diversity and inclusion. What are some of the best practices? How can we learn from each other and hopefully move the industry forward quicker? Every quarter, we pick a different focus area, and at the moment, we're focusing really on the topic of recruiting and talent management, and our theme is recruiting for balance. We kicked off in May with the series, and we had a webinar called Going to the Market for Gender Diversity, where we really took a deep dive into what does the data tell us and how can we build a really solid recruitment strategy by really understanding what's the talent pool available per function, per market, per industry out there, and therefore having a really, really targeted strategy of how we can get to the right gender balance from a talent perspective. And so today, I think, is a really, really nice lead on, because what we're doing today is take that theory and actually look what are some of our partners doing in practice. And so PepsiCo is going to be sharing a case study with us about what does their strategy look like and how are they, what are the building blocks that they're putting in place to really recruit for balance across the board. I can also announce today that in July, we're going to be running a virtual workshop. This is going to be for a smaller number of participants and is open to partners only. But if you're working in talent management or recruiting or talent sourcing, we're inviting you to join that session, and we're going to be sharing more details and registration links soon. So a good opportunity to get in touch with your partner ambassador. But without any further ado, I really want to hand it over to our partners from PepsiCo today, and I want to introduce Mireia, Maria Jose, and Helene, and I will hand over to you ladies for the session today.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, Christina, and good afternoon, everyone. Today we are very excited to be here with all of you for two reasons. The first one is that we are representing PepsiCo, and this is an honor in itself. But secondly, we have the opportunity to partner with Lead Network and with all of you in a very important mission, the mission to attract, retain, and advance women in the retail and consumer goods industry across Europe. For that, we'd like to thank Lead Network for the opportunity and all of you for joining us in this special mission. We didn't want to start the webinar today without reflecting about the exceptional times that we are living in our organizations. We are moving towards a next normal, and what we know for sure is that as part of this, talent is going to become one of the key enablers on the way we are reimagining the future, the way we are reshaping new capabilities, and the way we are going to emerge out of this crisis. Therefore, we wanted to start with a message of optimism in the sense that we have a unique opportunity in front of us in order to reshape and rethink our strategies to attract and retain female talent in our organizations. But why is that important? And for that, let me start telling you a story. A father and his son are driving home one evening in their car. Suddenly, they have a horrible accident. When the emergency staff arrives at the scene, the father is dead. The son is rushed to the hospital. When the doctor sees the patient in the emergency room, the doctor says, this is not gonna happen, but the doctor says, I'm not gonna operate him. He's my son. So my question to you, and you probably spot already here the bias, is who is the doctor? When asking this question, many of you probably thought it was something to do with a man. Maybe it was the father of the father, or it was the stepfather, or maybe the father was not even there. So when we are asking this question, usually most of you will raise your hand. On the contrary, if I'm asking you who thought it was the mother, maybe some of you will raise your hand. But if my second question is, who knew about this story, probably only a few of you will raise the hand. So here we spot a pattern. And what this is telling us is that our immediate thinking is pulling upon stereotypes, past experiences, and also assumptions such as doctors are male. And this becomes our initial default thought. You saw it even when I was telling the story, that came automatically without even thinking about it. So I think that this is a clear example that our biases somehow are determining the way we collaborate, also the way we make decisions, and as a consequence, as you can imagine, our recruiting strategies. Therefore, as part of today, we would like to tackle these, among other success factors, we believe are fundamental in order to create an equal workforce. But before doing that, let us share with you who we are, what is PepsiCo, and what motivates us. For that, we have prepared a short video that we would like to introduce to you.
There are people who are into music, there are people who are into video games, there are people who are into the arts and theater. It's bringing that mishmash of just different personalities together.
It's the fantastic people that are at PepsiCo, smartest, most visionary people that I think I've ever met.
The opportunities are incredible. The impact is massive.
The fact that you can work in an organization that is so on the edge of things to come, that's the creativity, that's the entrepreneurship that PepsiCo has.
I like the pace, I love the informality, and I also love the fact that I can be myself, but I feel like I'm being challenged all the time.
there is not one week that's the same as the other week. So if you don't like to be bored, if you don't like to sit in the same spot or do the same routine thing, that's the place for you.
Great. So our talent, your talent, our stage. So as you have seen, we are a very dynamic organization. We have over $64 billion in net revenue and more than 250,000 employees across the globe. Also, we are amongst the largest food and beverage companies around the world, and we are extremely proud of our brands and our products. Pepsi, Lay's, Tropicana, Doritos, Cheetos, Ruffles, Fritos, you name it. These are our $20 billion brands as they generate every year $1 billion in sales, which is pretty impressive. And this is only possible thanks to our strategy, winning with purpose. And here our ambition is to create more smiles with every sip and every bite. And especially, as you can imagine, that become even more relevant during the crisis of COVID-19. During this situation and being in a first necessity industry, PepsiCo played a fundamental role ensuring that we could feed the society at the times that was most needed. So our products could reach the shelf of stores, our products could as well reach our homes, and our products could reach hospitals and families of need, and we could have moments of joy together despite of the circumstances. I think all of you or most of you also belong to this industry, so I think this deserves a special recognition on the amazing and exceptional work that our teams perform during these times. And what truly impulses us during this crisis, but I would say every single day, is our strong culture, the PepsiCo way. The PepsiCo way is what defines us, what differentiates us, and what motivates us to become faster, stronger, and better. As you can see in the bottom of the slide, we have the core behaviors of our culture that have a very much focus on diversity and inclusion. So our culture would say it's very diverse and also inclusive. We have examples as voice opinions fearlessly, act with integrity, raise the bar on talent and diversity. These are key values, our DNA, that represent the work that also we are doing on the diversity and inclusion space. And now Maria Jose will tell us more on how are we bringing all this into life.
Thank you. And first of all, thank you very much to everyone for joining the webinar. And as Mireia said, thank you to Lead for inviting us. It's a honor for us. So in terms of diversity and inclusion, what does it really mean and why is it important at PepsiCo? Diversity and inclusion sound great, but what does it really mean? So different people might define workplace diversity and inclusion in different ways. But in short, it's accepting and valuing employees from many backgrounds and creating an environment where everyone feels recognized and accepted. In one hand, diversity respects the individual uniqueness in many dimensions, from background, ethnicity, beliefs, age, sexual orientation to capabilities, thoughts, and skills. And this is important for us because diversity brings new capabilities to drive PepsiCo's innovation and growth. On the other hand, inclusion refers to a cultural and environmental feeling of belonging. Employees in inclusive environments feel appreciated for their unique characteristics, and therefore they are comfortable sharing their ideas and other aspects of their true and authentic selves. There are a lot of researches that show the organization with inclusive culture has a lot of benefits, such as better financial results, higher performing teams, more agility within the organizations, and more. In Europe, our unique context, historical, political, cultural, economical, makes diversity not a choice, but the reality that we operate in every day. Society, talent pool, consumer base, all comes with diversity, and we must reflect it in our organization respectively. So, what is PepsiCo doing to contribute in the diversity and inclusion agenda? If we move to the next slide, to mention three big sections. So the first one on the top would be creating an inclusive environment and unlock diversity to its full potential via several initiatives, such as empowering everyone to design their life and drive their success, as well as deliver programs to empower women at every career stage, and create awareness and commitment to inclusion through an internal learning program at all professional levels. Secondly, PepsiCo looks to drive gender diversity as a common in Europe, and it is even the PepsiCo priority globally. As Mireia mentioned, this is a PepsiCo commitment in our Winning with Purpose agenda. And finally, giving the space to our markets and functions to find their own opportunities to unlock diversity barriers as appropriate. The complexities of Europe are huge. We are clearly one of the most diverse sectors, with a lot of differences between us. So we need to set the space to the markets and functions to work on their own priorities. I thought in the next slide that this was a very powerful quote from Berma Menges that I'm sure will help to understand and remember differences between diversity and inclusion. Diversity is being invited to the party, and inclusion is being asked to dance. Lovely quote. So now that we have talked about PepsiCo, and before moving to the next section, we thought it would be nice to know a bit about you. Actually, I was mentioning at the beginning, so if you can go into slido.com and then add the password harsh IT lead, and then you will see a few questions, you know, like simple questions to know a bit about yourself.
Yeah, and important, Maria Jose, we can connect. You can use either your browser or your phone and include, you can download the app from a Slido, but also directly going to the website and entering the hashtag ITLead. So we are giving 1 minute. We know that usually it takes a bit of time to go in. And in the meantime, we are going to share Slido and activate the questions, as we want to learn a bit more about you and who do we have on our audience. Perfect. So for the ones that are already starting and already in the applications, would like to learn, which city are you connecting from? Great. We have people from London, Paris, yeah. Barcelona, Moscow, Warsaw, Dubai, Brussels.
Italy.
Impressive, guys. I think we did this type of webinars before the pandemic, but I think that now it's becoming even more impressive. Madrid, Istanbul, Munich, Utrecht, our friends from the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. Great.
We have an international crowd. Nice.
Very nice. Good. I think how many people made it to the poll already? Let's go to the next question. What company you belong to? Okay, we have Nestlé, Danone, Unilever, PepsiCo, very good.
Our colleagues from PepsiCo. Kellogg. We have a lot of FMCG. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining.
Pretty impressive to see mm-hmm. everyone connecting from the different organizations in the industry. Very nice.
So what is your level of involvement on the diversity and inclusion practices? High, medium, or low? I don't have a role, but I have an interest. And this would be a reason why you're here.
Very good. We have a lot of people that is in the medium part, taking part and providing recommendations, and still significant people that has an interest but don't have a role. So I think that's very important, and maybe also a good opportunity to play this potential role in your organizations going forward, as we need to join forces in order to move diversity and inclusion across. Very good. So let's move forward. What is your mood today? We want to know, how are you feeling despite of this lockdown that has been there for almost like 2-3 months? Some people is feeling good. Yeah. That's good. Great. You're more tired. Okay. Happy. We have some happy people. That's good to know. Grateful. Very good. Perfect. Stress. I can imagine we are all feeling at some point on time. Amazing. Some people is concerned.
A lot of positive words. People, I think, are more like positive and happy. And it's normal to be like surviving or tired. We are at the end of the week and we know that it is not easy, all those weeks that we have been through.
Yes, but what we are going to try is at least that after the webinar that we have even increased the levels of energy. So let's go for that. Very good. Also a reminder, while we are moving towards the webinar, in case you have any questions, you can go directly into a Slido, use the same hashtag and input there any questions that you may have.
Just a quick jump here. So we'll have a dedicated moment at the end of the session to take your questions. So don't worry if you don't have any answers right now. It will come at the end of the session.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Hélène, for the reminder. Good. And we are moving forward towards the next section of the webinar, the key success factors to recruit for balance. And before we go into the details, would like to share with you some interesting information I was reading this weekend. And according to research, it can often take 8 times more for a woman to apply to a job compared to a man. Also, if you look and you compare in a promotion, usually a woman needs to have 100% of the requirements checked in the list, while for a man only having 50% of those, it's already feeling comfortable in order to go and apply for this promotion. So here, the $1 million question is, how can we empower women? And even more important, how can we attract all the talent that is out there? For that, we have highlighted the 5 top success factors that we believe are fundamental in creating this equal workforce. And we are gonna start with the first one, which is create a united front. And I would say that success of the implementation of all the other measures will depend in a high proportion on how well are we implementing this first factor here. Create a united front has 2 different elements. On one side, it's all about setting the tone from the top, ensuring that the senior leadership is really convinced on the fact that diversity is not a moral imperative, it is a business imperative. Research shows that diverse teams promote collaboration, innovation, and better results. Therefore, this is something that the top management should be truly convinced and also be part of the business goals. At PepsiCo, and part of our Winning with Purpose strategy, we have our 2025 goals. And this is clearly stated in one goal that by 2025, we want to reach 50% on gender parity in management positions. And trust me, that makes a difference the moment that you have this set from the top. So this will be the first element to consider when creating this united front. But as you can imagine, the second aspect is much more to ensure that the rest of the organization, and especially who have an active role in recruitment processes, are as well convinced and committed towards these goals. So this will be involving your HR teams, talent and acquisition teams, interviewers, people managers, anyone that participates actively in sourcing or recruitment strategies. And here it's all about making sure that education takes place and also that they are acting as ambassadors, spreading the word of the importance of diversity and inclusion within our teams. So I would say this is the first success factor that we need to take into consideration. And now we are gonna move forward towards the second one, which is increase visibility.
So I'm sure that most of you are familiar with, but just very quickly, the recruitment process basically consists of 3 phases: the work before posting an advertised vacant position, the selection and sourcing process, and finally choosing the right candidate. So starting with the attraction piece, I would suggest to make your job posting inclusive. you should be doing this regardless, but think carefully about what your job ad says about your company's culture. There's nothing wrong with having a fun, friendly, and casual atmosphere. In fact, it is fantastic if you have one. Balance is key. Ask yourself, for example, would a woman want from a fun, friendly, and casual atmosphere? Or even better, listen to what your current women workers have to say. They have first-hand knowledge and experience of what's working and what is not working in your organization, and can provide suggestions on how to make the workplace more appealing to other women. Also, the employer branding campaigns are very powerful, either online or offline activations. So what have we done so far at PepsiCo? Last year, the employer branding team took our global employee value proposition with all our global EVP messages and look and feel, and executed them via workshops and forms of talent communication across Europe. So we have two headlines underlying key messages with our EVP, and what makes you unique makes us better headline is used for diversity messaging and to take us recognizable as an employer that looks for people with their uniqueness, as well as engage and inspire new generations of talent and future leaders. So everything we do and the stories we are sharing are within the aim to empower diverse talent to join us. Something we cannot forget is our diverse source of hire. And if we move to the next success factor, leverage the power of sourcing. So sourcing for talent, it is crucial on each organization. At PepsiCo, we diversify the source of hire to identify the best talent. For example, regarding young talent attraction, in our last year, Dare to Do More campus program, we were targeting young generation across Europe. The final hires represent the gender and geographical parity. This is a program that gives equal opportunities to all participants across the different countries to join PepsiCo and make a successful career within it. Moreover, we have our sourcing team who are looking for external talent. One of their areas, among others, is building talent pipelines and sharing to the business the reality on the market in how it is the marketplace, impacting roles and functions. One of the tools they use is Talent Insight, which gives a good overview of data on gender representation by functions and per country. There are some challenges we are facing, for example, on gender in IT. Female representation is lower than in other functions, and we are aware of it. Our sourcing and TA teams have become a strategic partner for the company and a human element for the candidate, as candidate experience is also crucial for us. Nevertheless, sometimes the best recruitment can be done internally. Some of the best talents are outside your doors, I mean, in Poland, in France, in Italy. So we encourage our ambassadors to mentor and inspire the talent to consider internal opportunities. Moving to the next slide, as essential factor to consider is that nowadays, flexible work environment is often viewed as attractive benefit, and it is one of the best ways to satisfy the work-life integration needs of most employees, no matter which generation they belong to. And I was reading an article where mentioned it decreases stress, increases levels of job satisfaction and help employees to maintain healthier habits. As a personal example, on the days I do my morning workout, I start the day a bit later. I connect once I'm done and fully energized to begin my day. Also, a good practice to share with you is that at PepsiCo, we have mindfulness sessions, yoga classes, and running activities. Those kind of activities are suggested by employees, and PepsiCo is welcoming them very positively.
And let me add here, Maria Jose, an important element on work-life integration. And this is the fact that after this pandemic, we are moving into different type of expectations and an evolution, if you want, of this work-life integration. Let's imagine we have been living in the lockdown for 2-3 months, and we have been able to combine successfully, sometimes stressfully as well, let's face it, but we have been combining work, children, life, hobbies, sports. So now, as we are moving into this next normal, it's normal that we'll have other expectations. Therefore, we will need to embrace as organizations this work-life integration in a different way. And in the measure that we can adjust and that we can incorporate those in our new ways of working, I think the more attractive that we will become to the talent pool and also as to the female pool in that sense. So very important aspect as well to consider as we move forward towards the next normal. Good, this is bringing us to the last but not least success factor, which is trained to mitigate unconscious bias. We started today's session talking about the importance of unconscious bias, and this is a topic that we are taking very seriously at PepsiCo. Last year, we launched a training for all the executive teams, people managers, and also now we are raising awareness across the organization on the importance to mitigate these biases in order to make better decisions and in order to collaborate and create a more inclusive culture in our teams. I'm going to introduce you Tina Nielsen, who is one of our global diversity leads at PepsiCo and also trainer of this particular training that will explain a bit more.
So my own background is in anthropology and psychology, and that has led me to work with inclusiveness and diversity and how can we apply all these insights about human beings. And that has then given me the opportunity to work with multinationals around the world, the United Nations, OECD, World Economic Forum, and also refugee camps and people living in social housing and working in tiny NGOs. Unconscious bias are mental shortcuts. It's something all human beings have, and it's something that helps us jump to conclusion fast. But unfortunately, this is not always a good thing. It's a good thing if you want to stay safe in the street, but it's not a good thing when we're making decisions in our organizations. An example of an unconscious bias is that when people see a tall person, majority of us human beings will assign that or associate that with competence. That's a competent person. So that's one of my more personal biases.
Okay, we'll leave it here. The video continues, but it will be too long to project. But just wanted to give you a bit of a flavor of this type of training that we initiated last year that has been very successful. And I would say this is one of the topics we truly believe it will help us to move the needle and even accelerate the reach of our business goals. So very important to consider as well when defining your strategies. So this was the last success factor that we wanted to share with all of you. We hope that that you got some ideas that you can go and implement in your organizations. And as Maria Jose indicated, what makes us unique makes us better. And this is exactly what we want to get out of all these strategies to ensure that we can bring this uniqueness that makes us better as companies. Saying that, we'd like to move to the last section of this presentation. And we wanted to share as well with all of you a unique also initiative that we have within PepsiCo Europe. And this is an initiative that that took a form of a network. This is the One Woman's Network. This is a woman's network that was founded in 2013 by a group of passionate female who wanted to increase the participation of females within the IT organization. As you know, we have certain functions in our companies that are underrepresented when we are looking at gender diversity. Supply chain is an example, IT is another one. So here that was born with this ambition to ensure that we can empower, that we could attract, that we could even retain more women in the IT world. So we are going to share with you what is the vision of this organization, what are the type of activities that we perform in there, and also how is the structure that we have currently in place. So what is the ONCE vision? The ONCE vision is to promote talent development and empower women in IT, strengthening diversity and making PepsiCo an employer of choice for women. Very important here, we are not only focusing on progressing women in our organization, but this is also about looking externally and attracting external talent in that sense. How can we reach this vision? We do that through three different pillars. We have the building our knowledge, building our community, and building our presence. And now I'm going to go into the details for each of them. Building our knowledge. This is all about building leadership skills, soft skills that as women, we need to excel in order to make it to the next level. Here we are talking about communication skills, confidence, integration of work-life balance. And here we have our senior leadership, but also internal and external speakers that are coming and are also giving their views on how we can increase and improve on this type of skills. And I think this is very powerful because it's giving us a solid foundation to start building upon the next steps. The second pillar is building our community. This is all about getting together. And here we have two types of events. We have informal get-togethers where we are meeting and discussing on challenges that we may have, but also opportunities. But we have as well an annual calendar with different type of events when we celebrate different aspects. For example, in the pictures, you saw some examples, International Women's Day, Breast Cancer, Movember, and many others. So this is also to promote diversity and inclusion in our teams and also establish a kind of a mentorship relationship with some of the colleagues that we have within this community. And last but not least, we have building our presence. And building our presence has two different elements. The first one is building presence in schools, and this is mainly our initial source. We are going to different business schools, and in here we are pulling in value the type of female leaders that we have in our organization. So that could be a reference, and to the point of Maria Jose, increasing visibility, this is also an important aspect that we want in terms of increasing visibility. And the second aspect in terms of building our presence is more in social media. We know that diversity is a topic that is out there and it's relevant for everyone. So we need to ensure as well that we spread the word across the society to ensure that we can progress in our ambitions in that particular domain. So you have seen what is the one ambition, the type of initiative that we have in place, and would like to share as well how are we organized. And in here, Maria Jose and myself have been pretty close to all the activities and active in the last year, so we feel pretty much attached. Important to say, the scope of this network is a European scope, and we have both women and male included in this network. So this is an important aspect. It's very inclusive, and whatever initiative or events that we launch are always targeted to include both populations, because we believe this is really the way to progress in diversity and inclusion. It's about joining forces in this matter. Our sponsor is our European CIO that is also setting the sponsorship for this type of network. And then we have a core team that is the responsible to progress all the initiative and to lead the calendar of events that are happening in a regular basis. Then we have as well a network of ambassadors that is represented across the different geographies that we have in place within PepsiCo, where we have most representation. And here you see the examples. We are present in UK, France, Spain, Russia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, and Turkey. And in that sense, what we try to achieve is to have the same experience across the different geographies whenever we are launching events or initiative across. So in that sense, we can ensure that there's a kind of a standard look and feel of all the activities that are going on as part of the network. I think this is an example we wanted to share, as we are extremely proud of the work that has been going on this network, but especially, and I would say that's the message I would like to reinforce as part of this section, because passion is really what led us here and what led the One Network to perform all the activities that you see. And what you see also is that whenever you have passionate people that is working towards a common purpose, anything is possible. And this is exactly what happened with One Network. And here the point to take is, within your organizations, it's very important to give a space to this type of initiative. It could be through a sponsorship, giving them resources, funding, giving them the space that they need in order to progress on these ambitions. Let's not forget, at the end of the day, we are building our network of allies to help us to progress on our ambitions. And this is really a great example on how can we accelerate in diversity and inclusion within our teams. So important to share, and important also to keep that in mind. So we are reaching to the end of the presentation, and we didn't want to finalize without leaving you with some homework, right? We want to ask for a call to action, and also would like to share with you a quote that we particularly like, and this is from Simon Sinek, that says, "Words may inspire, but only action creates change." What we have seen today is that the world is changing upside down. It already changed. And within this new context, talent and diverse talent is becoming key in order to embed new ways of working, collaboration, innovation, and ultimately to make our organization successful. Also, talented and qualified women are everywhere, and it only depends on us, on our capacity to attract and retain them. Therefore, I would like to ask you to identify one action, only one, we keep it simple, of today's webinar that you can start implementing as of tomorrow. We are convinced if individually we are taking forward this action, that collectively we are going to impulse this positive change, I would say, in our organizations, in the industry, but also across the society. Would like to thank you the time for your attention, and also wishing you all the best in progressing these actions forward. Thank you. And now I would say that probably we can move to the last section, questions and answers, that Hélène is going to facilitate.
Yes, absolutely. So we do have a lot of questions. So thank you, everyone, for the question you are asking. So and it still comes under the slide. So maybe the first one, and I will highlight it this way. The first one is about, what is women percentage on management position in PepsiCo? So maybe I can answer this one. So actually, right now in Europe, we have 43% of women into management position. So two good news on this one. The first good news is that we really increased this number. In 2015, we were at 38%. So we really increased of 5 points on this one in 5 years. And the second good news is that it's I missed the second good news, but anyway, yes, 43% in Europe, and no, the second good news was that it's the above the average in the industry. When we look at the FMCG overall companies, it's above the industry. Maybe another question. Let me have a look on this. So.
Sorry, Hélène, yeah. Before you continue, right? I think I would like to add also from an IT point of view, right? Because I think this is overall across PepsiCo, but sure. It's also true that in some functions, as mentioned, we are underrepresented. I think in the case of IT, at this moment, we are looking at a percentage of around 25% that it increased compared to last year. And if we look at management positions, this will be even a bit lower. So in that sense, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. But the importance here is that we are setting up the foundation to ensure that diversity and inclusion is being taken properly, also part of the goals. So in that sense, we are confident that we can progress towards the achievement of the goals.
Absolutely.
I could take the one on sourcing, the first one.
Yes.
About the CVs.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the question is, when the human intervention is there to look through CVs, how do you ensure that bots are wired to screen our algorithm biases when saving through 100 CVs?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we look at the candidate experience. So we, you know, like our tracking system will be looking at the experience that would be relevant for you know, to match with the role that we are looking for. It won't be looking at the age, geography, or anything else. You know, like we will be looking at experience itself. That would be the focus.
Yeah, and here, Maria Jose, also important to note, I think this is also more thinking in time ahead, right? When we have also IA that will help us also in terms of the recruitment processes and will have a more of an active role. So I think in that sense, technology could help us really to remove these biases, because ultimately now, even we are performing interviews and we have our biases. In the future, we could even have robots. I was reading an article the other day, and this is also something that somehow we could mitigate by removing these biases, as they will not have this as a going in position, right? So I'm pretty optimistic in the fact that technology could even help us more in terms of mitigating unconscious bias. But still something we'll need to wait a bit more to see it in practice.
Thank you. So we have another question. So what were the biggest challenges you identified in the company culture to achieve this mindset, and how did you manage them? So maybe I can start answering this one, and please jump, Mireia and Maria Jose, if you have some different views or insights. I assume that like every international companies, we faced, you know, this international companies issue, like different language, like different location, different religion, politics, and so on. Everything that we discussed in the very beginning of this call. But it's true that having the great chance actually to have leaders very committed into diversity and inclusion was a game changer for PepsiCo. Mireia was talking about setting the tone from the top. We have the chance right now to have at least two leaders at the European leadership team who are strongly involved into the network. So I definitely think that this is something, this tone from the top is really helping us on this. A second thing is that diversity and inclusion is a priority in the HR agenda. It's not a topic that is separate from the HR agenda. It's a priority. It's in what we call the human capital strategy, which is our HR, you know, strategy. I mean, guidelines, and it's a priority in this strategy, and it remains a priority even during COVID time. So this is something really that is positioned as not only an HR stuff somewhere, but something that is integrated into the business, in the daily business. So it's even integrated into what we call the PepsiCo way, which is the basis of our culture. So definitely I think that this is something that helps us to have this diversity and inclusion approach today. We do have a question maybe for you, Maria Jose. How do you work on attracting and retaining young female talent?
I was reading that one, and one of the things that we mentioned, and Mireia, you know, like I mentioned in terms of one, for example, we do a lot of like online and offline attraction campaigns, and Mireia and the team of one, they have been going to universities, they have been encouraging the female and telling them how it is like working at PepsiCo, the career they can have there, and also, you know, like the fun that they will have within the organization and the team. So that would be, you know, like some of the attraction piece. And then in terms of retention, they have these ambassadors that mentor the female and encourage them as well to recognize certain positions that might be like interesting for them. And if there might be some of them that would be dubitated, as also Mireia mentioned at the beginning, that for female, you know, it takes 8 times more than a man to apply for a role. So yeah, so encouraging them, empowering the female to evolve within the organization and within IT.
Yes, and here let me add, Maria Jose, we didn't mention, but also we participate in multiple initiatives that are out there that any organization can participate, like the Innovation Challenge, Visibilizalas, STEM for Girls. So there are multiple initiatives. Inspira is another one that we are also in contact. We have a kind of a mentorship relationship with young ladies, females, girls even. So I think that's also a very important pool that we should start, approaching, as ultimately this will be the new generations that will be moving forward after our legacy. So I think that's very important also to connect with this different initiative and to start getting closer to these younger populations, if you want.
Thank you. We are now covering the following question. So hi, how are you also inspiring other ID communities within PepsiCo? Do you have cross areas of action, disabled, age, LGBT, and so on? So yes, we do. So actually, when Maria Jose were presenting you the diversity and inclusion strategy, you know, with the three goals we want to achieve, the first one was about achieving gender equity. For sure, this is the one of the biggest priority for us as an organization. Second pillar into our diversity and inclusion is how to foster inclusive environment. And the third pillar is actually how do we help BUs, so our markets, our countries, to achieve their own local goals beyond gender representation, because we are very conscious that from a country to another one, diversity and inclusion are not the same. We don't face the same situation. We are not having to solve the same issues in brackets. So for instance, Spain for now has a important senior population, and they would like to have more young more young population. France, for instance, is looking for more disabled people, or to make more awareness around disability, because we realize that France is realizing that we don't do enough. So from a country to another one, the diversity and inclusion topics are not the same. And the idea is to centrally, at a European level, we are providing a set of activation, material, contact, NGOs, and so on, to help the BU to address what are their specific topics. So indeed, when it comes to disability, to age, to our LGBT, we do have some connection and some programs, some activation to offer to the country to help them achieving their own goals. Another question is, did you implement quotas to improve the situation? This is an excellent question, and thank you for asking. This is always a question that we hear in this diversity and inclusion circle. So actually, what we are doing right now is, it's not quota. We are asking, actually, I don't know if we can talk about quota, but we definitely think that it's important that, and we are very conscious that to achieve this gender representation in each BUs, in each market, we need to be more proactive. So what we are asking now to countries is to have one more female into a leadership team, for instance. So we definitely we are pushing for this in order to achieve the ambitious goal that we are that we want to achieve is having 50% female representation by 2025. So we're getting closer, but we know that if we want to achieve it, we need to be more proactive. So this is partly what we are doing. Yes.
And I think here, Hélène, it's important to say as well, the moment you have the commitment from the management team, the quotas somehow are not relevant, right? Because giving example, when we are in people planning sessions or when we are talking about succession plans, it becomes obvious in cases that we see, well, there's not even 50% of women representing this, right? So what can we do to accelerate some women? Let's go back to the drawing table. Let's identify who are these women that we could somehow accelerate. So I think that quotas are fine, right? I think that there are like pros and cons as everything. But for me, I really trust that the commitment from the management team is even more important than the quota, because it's something that it's part of the natural behavior that will pop up and not something that is truly reinforced or enforced as part of the organization.
So the following one, in some fields like IT, the pool of female talent is often unbalanced, what's called the winter enlarge the overall pool.
I can take this one, Ellen. And I think that we have seen one network being also a key enabler in that sense. And as Maria Jose indicated, one action that we do, for example, is going to business schools, identifying, giving visibility on our female talent. So somehow we are also attracting the same type of female profile in that sense. Apart from that, the unconscious bias training, very important for all the people managers, for the IT executive team, in order to be very much onboarded and committed towards the idea of recruiting for this balance within IT. And as said before, also taking opportunity on all these people planning sessions where we discuss about the talent that we have within our teams to ensure as well that the conversation is present and that we also have, I would say, a pushback when we see that the representation is not equal, right? And that's the important point is being conscious is the first step, and then the actions will continue. But I would say that at this moment, we are working in multiple fronts, from the one network, but also internally on all these actions that we are mobilizing.
Mm-hmm. And adding into this, we need to be also realistic, because looking into the market and, well, we can see, for instance, in the talent insight reports that we get, like IT, the female representation is always like lower than other functions. So yeah, the reality is, you know, a fact as well that we can see, but also like being conscious, you know, like, okay, what is the reality? And also, you know, like from our side to have, you know, like this willingness as well, you know, to expand in terms of like female.
Thanks. I'm looking at the time. Maybe we still have the time for maybe one question. So maybe this one. Women who are often also mom and must provide for children often cannot work full time. How can we ensure that more part-time job offers are available too? So I don't know, ladies, if you want to start answering, and I do have as well some insights, but I can start as well. So actually I think that right now in the current COVID situation, the entire, you know, HR team or even business team are really realizing that working from home might be a new reality. So I think that all in all, this COVID situation might create some positive change. So what I know from really about this topic is that we do have a projecting thinking about overall what could be the future of work. Having that said, into the really current situation, know what will happen, but what was the past and what is happening now, depending actually on the location you are at PepsiCo, you have the opportunity to do some remote working. So depending on the country, sometimes it can be home based, which is often the case in UK. In France, you can have like one day on day. So I think that this is something that is currently done, not the same way into the different market, but this is something that is existing. And I think that with the COVID situation, hopefully we will see some positive changes into this specific topic. All right, so I see it's 3:59. Maybe we can close this Q&A session. Thank you again, because I see still plenty of questions, and I feel a lot of passion. So thank you, thanks a lot for that, Christina. Maybe I give the end to you. I know that you wanted to close this webinar.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much to all three of you for giving us an insight, not only into the sort of recruitment practices at PepsiCo, but I think also really bringing it to life with the case study around what you're doing with the One Network. So thank you very, very much. I do want to invite everybody to join us and continue the conversation on the Lead Network member platform. If you are not already a member or joined up, I've just popped the link into the chat. Again, there's an opportunity to connect with other members, with companies, and continue the conversation on these topics. And then lastly, please let me know, please do share your feedback with us. It's really important. So A, we know what other topics you might be interested in, and we can shape future sessions, but also to give some feedback to our presenters today. So a really, really big thank you to everyone. Have a fantastic rest of the day, and we'll see you in one of our future webinars.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.